Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. By John Bunyan. Continued. HailAndFire.com. At this therefore I rejoiced. Yea, the tears of those whom God did awaken by my preaching, would be both solace and encouragement to me, for I thought on those sayings, Who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? 2 Corinthians 2. 2. And again, if I be not an apostle to others, yet doubtless, I am unto you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 9. 2. These things, therefore, were as another argument unto me, that God had called me to, and stood by me in this work. In my preaching of the word, I took special notice of this one thing, namely, that the Lord did lead me to begin where his word begins with sinners. That is, to condemn all flesh, and to open and allege, that the curse of God by the law, doth belong to, and lay hold on all men as they come into the world, because of sin. Now this part of my work I fulfilled with great sense. For the terrors of the law, and guilt for my transgressions, lay heavy on my conscience. I preached what I felt, what I smartingly did feel, even that under which my poor soul did groan and tremble to astonishment. Indeed, I have been as one sent to them from the dead. I went myself in chains, to preach to them in chains, and carried that fire in my own conscience, that I persuaded them to be aware of. I can truly say, and that without dissembling, that when I have been to preach, I have gone full of guilt and terror, even to the pulpit door, and there it hath been taken off, and I have been at liberty in my mind until I have done my work. And then immediately, even before I could get down the pulpit stairs, I have been as bad as I was before. Yet God carried me on, but surely with a strong hand, for neither guilt nor hell could take me off my work. Thus I went on for the space of 2 years, crying out against men's sins, and their fearful state because of them. After which, the Lord came in upon my own soul, with some staid peace and comfort through Christ. For he did give me many sweet discoveries of his blessed grace through him. Wherefore now I altered in my preaching. For still I preached what I saw and felt. Now therefore I did much labor to hold forth Jesus Christ in all his offices, relations, and benefits unto the world, and did strive also to discover, to condemn, and remove those false supports and props on which the world doth both lean, and by them fall and perish. On these things also I stayed as long as on the other. After this, God led me into something of the mystery of the union of Christ, wherefore that I discovered and showed to them also. And, when I had travelled through these 3 chief points of the Word of God, about the space of 5 years or more, I was caught in my present practice, and cast into prison, where I have lain above as long again to confirm the truth by way of suffering, as I was before in testifying of it according to the Scriptures, in a way of preaching. When I have been in preaching, I thank God my heart hath often all the time of this and the other exercise, with great earnestness cried to God that he would make the word effectual to the salvation of the soul, still being grieved lest the enemy should take the word away from the conscience, and so it should become unfruitful, wherefore I should labor to speak the word, as that thereby, if it were possible, the sin and person guilty might be particularized by it. And when I have done the exercise, it hath gone to my heart, to think the word should now fall as rain on stony places, still wishing from my heart, oh, that they who have heard me speak this day, did but see as I do, what sin, death, hell, and the curse of God is, and also what the grace, and love, and mercy of God is, through Christ, to men in such a case as they are, who are yet estranged from him. And indeed, I did often say in my heart before the Lord, that if to be hanged up presently before their eyes, would be a means to awaken them, and confirm them in the truth, I gladly should be contented. For I have been in my preaching, especially when I have been engaged in the doctrine of life by Christ, without works, as if an angel of God had stood by at my back to encourage me, oh! It hath been with such power and heavenly evidence upon my own soul, while I have been laboring to unfold it, to demonstrate it, and to fasten it upon the conscience of others, that I could not be contented with saying, I believe, and am sure. Methought I was more than sure. If it be lawful to express myself that those things which then I asserted, were true. When I first went to preach the word abroad, the doctors and priests of the country did open wide against me. But I was persuaded of this, not to render ailing for ailing, but to see how many of their carnal professors I could convince of their miserable state by the law, and of the wanton worth of Christ, for, thought I, this shall answer for me in time to come, when they shall be for my hire before their face. Genesis 30. 33. I never cared to meddle with things that were controverted, and in dispute among the saints, especially things of the lowest nature. Yet it pleased me much to contend with great earnestness for the word of faith, and the remission of sins by the death and sufferings of Jesus, but I say, as to other things, I should let them alone, because I saw they engendered strife, and because that they neither in doing, nor in leaving undone, did commend us to God to be His. Besides, I saw my work before me did run into another channel, even to carry an awakening word. To that therefore did I stick and adhere. I never endeavoured to, nor durst make use of other men's lines, Romans 15. 18. Though I condemn not all that do, for I verily thought, and found by experience, that what was taught me by the word and spirit of Christ, could be spoken, maintained, and stood to, by the soundest and best established conscience. And though I will not now speak all that I know in this matter, yet my experience hath more interest in that text of Scripture, Galatians 1. 11, 12, than many amongst men are aware. If any of those who were awakened by my ministry, did after that fall back, as sometimes too many did, I can truly say, their loss hath been more to me, than if one of my own children, begotten of my own body, had been going to its grave. I think verily, I may speak it without any offence to the Lord, nothing has gone so near me as that, unless it was the fear of the loss of the salvation of my own soul. I have counted as if I had goodly buildings and lordships in those places where my children were born. My heart hath been so wrapped up in the glory of this excellent work, that I counted myself more blessed and honoured of God by this, than if He had made me the emperor of the Christian world, or the lord of all the glory of the earth without it. Oh, these words! He which converteth the sinner from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death. James 5. 20. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Proverb 11. 30. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness, as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12. 3. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. 1 Thessalonians 2. 19, 20. These, I say, with many others of a like nature, have been great refreshments to me. I have observed, that where I have had a work to do for God, I have had first, as it were, the going of God upon my spirit, to desire I might preach there. I have also observed, that such and such souls in particular, have been strongly set upon my heart, and I stirred up to wish for their salvation. And that these very souls have, after this, been given in as the fruits of my ministry. I have observed, that a word cast in, by the by, hath done more execution in a sermon, than all that was spoken besides. Sometimes also, when I have thought I did no good, then I did the most of all. And at other times, when I thought I should catch them, I have fished for nothing. I have also observed, that where there has been a work to do upon sinners, there the devil hath begun to roar in the hearts and by the mouths of his servants, yea, oftentimes, when the wicked world hath raged most, there hath been souls awakened by the word. I could instance particulars, but I forbear. My great desire in my fulfilling my ministry was to get into the darkest places of the country, even amongst those people that were farthest off of profession. Yet not because I could not endure the light. For I feared not to show my gospel to any, but because I found my spirit did lean most after awakening and converting work, and the word that I carried did lean itself most that way also. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Romans 15. 20. In my preaching I have really been in pain, and have, as it were, travailed to bring forth children to God. Neither could I be satisfied unless some fruits did appear in my work. If I were fruitless, it mattered not who commanded me, but if I were fruitful, I cared not who did condemn. I have thought of that, lo! Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Psalm 127. 3-5. It pleased me nothing to see people drink in opinions, if they seemed ignorant of Jesus Christ, and the worth of their own salvation, sound conviction for sin, especially for unbelief, and a heart set on fire to be saved by Christ, with strong breathings after a truly sanctified soul, that it was that delighted me. Those were the souls I counted blessed. But in this work, as in all other, I had my temptations attending me, and that of divers kinds, as sometimes I should be assaulted with great discouragement therein, fearing that I should not be able to speak a word at all to edification, nay, that I should not be able to speak sense unto the people, at which times I should have such a strange faintness and strengthlessness seize upon my body, that my legs have scarce been able to carry me to the place of exercise. Sometimes again when I have been preaching, I have been violently assaulted with thoughts of blasphemy, and strongly tempted to speak the words with my mouth before the congregation. I have also at some times, even when I have begun to speak the word with much clearness, evidence, and liberty of speech, yet been, before the ending of that opportunity, so blinded and so estranged from the things I have been speaking, and have been also so straitened in my speech, as to utterance before the people, that I have been as if I had not known, or remembered what I have been about, or as if my head had been in a bag all the time of my exercise. Again, when as sometimes I have been about to preach upon some smart and searching portion of the word, I have found the tempter suggest, "What? Will you preach this? This condemns yourself. Of this your own soul is guilty. Wherefore preach not of it at all. Or if you do, yet so mince it, as to make way for your own escape. Lest instead of awakening others, you lay that guilt upon your own soul, that you will never get from under. But I thank the Lord, I have been kept from consenting to these so horrid suggestions, and have rather, as Samson, bowed myself with all my might, to condemn sin and transgression, wherever I found it. Yea, though therein also I did bring guilt upon my own conscience. Let me die. Thought I, with the Philistines, Judges 16. 29, 30, rather than deal corruptly with the blessed word of God. Thou that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? It is far better that thou do judge thyself, even by preaching plainly unto others, than that thou, to save thyself, imprison the truth in righteousness. Blessed be God for his help also in this. I have also, while found in this blessed work of Christ, been often tempted to pride and liftings up of heart, and though I dare not say, I have not been affected with this, yet truly the Lord of his precious mercy, hath so carried it towards me, that for the most part I have had but small joy to give way to such a thing, for it hath been my every day's portion to be let into the evil of my own heart, and still made to see such a multitude of corruptions and infirmities therein, that it hath caused hanging down of the head under all my gifts and attainments. I have felt this thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, the very mercy of God to me. I have also had, together with this, some notable place or other of the word presented before me, which word hath contained in it some sharp and piercing sentence concerning the perishing of the soul, notwithstanding gifts and parts, as, for instance, that hath been of great use to me, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and of not charity, I am become a sounding brass, and a tinkling cymbal. 1 Corinthians 13. 1:2. A tinkling cymbal is an instrument of music, with which a skillful player can make such melodious and heart-inflaming music, that all who hear him play, can scarcely hold from dancing. And yet behold, the cymbal hath not life, neither comes the music from it, but because of the art of him that plays therewith. So then the instrument at last may come to naught and perish, though in times past such music hath been made upon it. Just thus I saw it was, and will be, with them who have gifts, but want saving grace. They are in the hand of Christ, as the cymbal in the hand of David, and as David could with the cymbal make that mirth in the service of God, as to elevate the hearts of the worshippers, so Christ can use these gifted men, as with them to affect the souls of his people in his church. Yet when he hath done all, hang them by, as lifeless, though sounding cymbals. This consideration therefore, together with some others, were for the most part, as am all on the head of pride, and desire of vainglory. What, thought I, shall I be proud because I am a sounding brass? Is it so much to be a fiddle? Hath not the least creature that hath life, more of God in it than these? Besides, I knew 'twas love should never die, but these must cease and vanish, so I concluded, a little grace, a little love, a little of the true fear of God, is better than all the gifts, yea, and I am fully convinced of it, that it is possible for souls that can scarce give a man an answer, but with great confusion as to method. I say, it is possible for them to have 1,000 times more grace, and so to be more in the love and favor of the Lord, than some who by the virtue of the gift of knowledge, can deliver themselves like angels. Thus therefore I came to perceive that, though gifts in themselves were good, to the thing for which they are designed, to wit, the edification of others, yet empty, and without power to save the soul of him that hath them, if they be alone, neither are they, as so, any sign of a man's state to be happy, being only a dispensation of God to some, of whose improvement, or non-improvement, they must, when a little love more is over, give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. This showed me too, that gifts being alone, were dangerous, not in themselves, but because of those evils that attend them that have them, to wit, pride, desire of vainglory, self-conceit, etc., all which were easily blown up at the applause and commendation of every unadvised Christian, to the endangering of a poor creature to fall into the condemnation of the devil. I saw therefore that he that hath gifts, had need be let into a sight of the nature of them, to wit, that they come short of making of him to be in a truly saved condition, lest he rest in them, and so fall short of the grace of God. He hath cause also to walk humbly with God and be little in his own eyes, and to remember withal, that his gifts are not his own, but the church's, and that by them he is made a servant to the church, and he must also give at last an account of his stewardship unto the Lord Jesus, and to give a good account will be a blessed thing. Let all men therefore prize a little with the fear of the Lord. Gifts indeed are desirable, but yet great grace and small gifts are better than great gifts and no grace. It doth not say, the Lord gives gifts and glory, but the Lord gives grace and glory. And blessed is such an one, to whom the Lord gives grace, true grace. For that is a certain forerunner of glory. But when Satan perceived that his thus tempting and assaulting of me, would not answer his design, to wit, to overthrow the ministry, and make it ineffectual, as to the ends thereof, then he tried another way, which was, to stir up the minds of the ignorant and malicious to load me with slanders and reproaches. Now therefore I may say, that what the devil could devise, and his instruments invent, was whirled up and down the country against me, thinking, as I said, that by that means they should make my ministry to be abandoned. It began therefore to be rumored up and down among the people, that I was a witch, a Jesuit, a highwayman, and the like. To all which, I shall only say, God knows that I am innocent. But as for mine accusers, let them provide themselves to meet me before the tribunal of the Son of God, there to answer for all these things, with all the rest of their iniquities, unless God shall give them repentance for them, for the which I pray with all my heart. But that which was reported with the boldest confidence, was, that I had my missus, my whores, my bastards. Yea, two wives at once, and the like. Now these slanders, with the others I glory in, because but slanders, foolish or knavish lies, and falsehoods cast upon me by the devil and his seed. And, should I not be dealt with thus wickedly by the world, I should want one sign of a saint, and a child of God. Blessed are ye, said the Lord Jesus, when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 4:11. These things therefore, upon mine own account, trouble me not. No, though they were 20 times more than they are, I have a good conscience, and whereas they speak evil of me, as an evil doer, they shall be ashamed that falsely accuse my good conversation in Christ. So then, what shall I say to those who have thus bespattered me? Shall I threaten them? Shall I chide them? Shall I flatter them? Shall I entreat them to hold their tongues? No, not I, were it not for that these things make them ripe for damnation, that are the authors and abettors, I would say unto them, report it, because 'twill increase my glory. Therefore I bind these lies and slanders to me as an ornament. It belongs to my Christian profession to be vilified, slandered, reproached and reviled. And since all this is nothing else, as my God and my conscience do bear me witness, I rejoice in reproaches for Christ's sake. I also call all these fools or knaves, that have thus made it anything of their business to affirm any of the things aforenamed of me, namely, that I have been naught with other women, or the like, when they have used the utmost of their endeavours, and made the fullest inquiry that they can, to prove against me truly, that there is any woman in heaven, or earth, or hell, that can say, I have at any time, in any place, by day or night, so much as attempted to be naught with them. And speak I thus to beg my enemies into a good esteem of me? No, not I. I would in this beg belief of no man, believe or disbelieve me in this, all is a case to me. My foes have missed their mark in this shooting at me, I am not the man, I wish that they themselves be guiltless. If all the fornicators and adulterers in England were hanged up by the neck till they be dead, John Bunyan, the object of their envy, would be still alive and well. I know not whether there be such a thing as a woman breathing under the copes of the whole heaven, but by their apparel, their children, or by common fame, except my wife. And in this I admire the wisdom of God, that he made me shy of women from my first conversion until now. Those shy of women know, and can also bear me witness, with whom I have been most intimately concerned, that it is a rare thing to see me carry it pleasant towards a woman. The common salutation of women I abhor. 'Tis odious to me in whomsoever I see it. Their company alone, I cannot away with. I seldom so much as touch a woman's hand. For I think these things are not so becoming me. When I have seen good men salute those women that they have visited, or that have visited them, I have at times made my objection against it. And when they have answered, that it was but a piece of civility, I have told them, it is not a comely sight. Some indeed have urged the holy kiss, but then I have asked why they made balks, why they did salute the most handsome, and let the ill-favoured go. Thus, how laudable soever such things have been in the eyes of others, they have been unseemly in my sight. And now for a wind up in this matter, I calling not only men, but angels, to prove me guilty of having carnally to do with any woman save my wife, nor am I afraid to do it a second time, knowing that it cannot offend the Lord in such a case, to call God for a record upon my soul, that in these things I am innocent. Not that I have been thus kept, because of any goodness in me, more than any other. But God has been merciful to me, and has kept me. To whom I pray that he will keep me still, not only from this, but every evil way and work, and preserve me to his heavenly kingdom. Amen. Now as Satan labored by reproaches and slanders, to make me vile among my countrymen, that, if possible, my preaching might be made of none effect, so there was added hereto, a long and tedious imprisonment, that thereby I might be frightened from my service for Christ, and the world terrified, and made afraid to hear me preach, of which I shall in the next place give you a brief account. A brief account of the author's imprisonment. Having made profession of the glorious gospel of Christ a long time, and preached the same about 5 years, I was apprehended at a meeting of good people in the country, among whom, had they let me alone, I should have preached that day, but they took me away from amongst them, and led me before a justice, who, after I had offered security for my appearing at the next sessions, yet committed me, because my sureties would not consent to be bound that I should preach no more to the people. At the sessions after I was indicted for an upholder and maintainer of unlawful assemblies and conventicles, and for not conforming to the national worship of the Church of England. And after some conference there with the justices, they taking my plain dealing with them for a confession, as they termed it, of the indictment, did sentence me to a perpetual banishment, because I refused to conform. So being again delivered up to the jailer's hands, I was had home to prison, and there have lain now complete 12 years, waiting to see what God would suffer these men to do with me. In which condition I have continued with much content, through grace, but have met with many turnings and goings upon my heart, both from the Lord, Satan, and my own corruptions. By all which, glory be to Jesus Christ, I have also received among many things, much conviction, instruction, and understanding, of which at large I shall not here discourse, only give you a hint or two, a word that may stir up the godly to bless God, and to pray for me, and also to take encouragement, should the case be their own, not to fear what man can do unto them. I never had in all my life so great an inlet into the word of God as now, those scriptures that I saw nothing in before, and made him this place and state to shine upon me. Jesus Christ also was never more real and apparent than now. Here I have seen and felt him indeed. Oh! That word, we have not preached unto you cunningly devised fables, 2 Peter 1:16, and that, God raised Christ from the dead, and gave him glory, that our faith and hope might be in God, 1 Peter 1:21, were blessed words unto me in this my imprisoned condition. These 3 or 4 scriptures also have been great refreshments in this condition to me. John 14:1-4. John 16:33. Colossians 3:3-4. Hebrews 12:22-24. So that sometimes when I have been in the savour of them, I have been able to laugh at destruction, and to fear neither the horse nor his rider. I have had sweet sights of the forgiveness of my sins in this place, and of my being with Jesus in another world. Oh! The mountain, the heavenly Jerusalem, the innumerable company of angels, and God the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect, and Jesus, have been sweet unto me in this place. I have seen that here, that I am persuaded I shall never, while in this world, be able to express. I have seen a truth in this scripture, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, and full of glory. 1 Peter 1:8. I never knew what it was for God to stand by me at all turns, and at every offer of Satan to afflict me, etc., as I have found him since I came in hither, for look how fears have presented themselves, so have supports and encouragements. Yea, when I have started, even as it were, at nothing else but my shadow, yet God, as being very tender of me, hath not suffered me to be molested, but would with one scripture or another, strengthen me against all. Insomuch that I have often said, were it lawful, I could pray for greater trouble, for the greater comfort's sake. Ecclesiastes 7. 14. 2 Corinthians 1. 5. Before I came to prison, I saw what was coming, and had especially two considerations warm upon my heart. The first was, how to be able to encounter death, should that be here my portion. For the first of these, that scripture, Colossians 1. 11, was great information to me, namely, to pray to God to be strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I could seldom go to prayer before I was imprisoned. But for not so little as a year together, this sentence, or sweet petition would, as it were, thrust itself into my mind, and persuade me, that if ever I would go through long-suffering, I must have all patience, especially if I would endure it joyfully. As to the second consideration, that saying, 2 Corinthians 1. 9 was of great use to me, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. By this scripture I was made to see, that if ever I would suffer rightly, I must first pass a sentence of death upon everything that can properly be called a thing of this life, even to reckon myself, my wife, my children, my health, my enjoyments, and all as dead to me, and myself as dead to them. The second was to live upon God that is invisible, as Paul said in another place. The way not to faint is, to look not on the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And thus I reasoned with myself, if I provide only for a prison, then the whip comes at unawares. And so doth also the pillory, again, if I only provide for these, then I am not fit for banishment. Further, if I conclude that banishment is the worst, then if death comes, I am surprised, so that I see, the best way to go through sufferings, is to trust in God through Christ, as touching the world to come. And as touching this world, to count the grave my house, to make my bed in darkness. To see to corruption, thou art my father, and to the worm, thou art my mother and sister, that is, to familiarize these things to me. But notwithstanding these helps, I found myself a man encompassed with infirmities. The parting with my wife and poor children, hath often been to me in this place, as the pulling the flesh from the bones, and that not only because I am somewhat too fond of these great mercies, but also because I should have often brought to my mind the many hardships, miseries, and wants that my poor family was like to meet with, should I be taken from them, especially my poor blind child, who lay nearer my heart than all besides. Oh! The thoughts of the hardship I thought my poor blind one might go under, would break my heart to pieces. Poor child! Thought I, what sorrow art thou like to have for thy portion in this world? Thou must be beaten, must beg, suffer hunger, cold, nakedness, and a thousand calamities, though I cannot now endure the wind should blow upon thee. But yet recalling myself, thought I must venture you all with God, though it goeth to the quick to leave you. Oh! I saw in this condition I was as a man who was pulling down his house upon the head of his wife and children. Yet, thought I must do it, I must do it, and now I thought on those two milch kine that were to carry the ark of God into another country, and to leave their calves behind them. 1 Samuel 6. 10-12. But that which helped me in this temptation, was divers considerations, of which, 3 in special here I will name. The first was the consideration of these two scriptures, leave thy fatherless children, I will preserve them alive, and let thy widows trust in me, and again, the Lord said, Verily it shall be well with thy remnant, verily, I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil, and in time of affliction. Jeremiah 49, 11 and 15. 11. I had also this consideration, that if I should not venture all for God, I engaged God to take care of my concernments, but if I forsook him and his ways, for fear of any trouble that should come to me or mine, then I should not only falsify my profession, but should count also that my concernments were not so sure, if left at God's feet, whilst I stood to and for his name, as they would be if they were under my own care, though with the denial of the way of God. This was a smarting consideration, and as spurs unto my flesh. That scripture also greatly helped it to fasten the more upon me, where Christ prays against Judas, that God would disappoint him in his selfish thoughts, which moved him to sell his master. Pray read it soberly, Psalm 119, 6-8, etc. I had also another consideration, and that was, the dread of the torments of hell, which I was sure they must partake of that for fear of the cross, do shrink from their profession of Christ, his words and laws before the sons of men. I thought also of the glory that he had prepared for those that in faith, and love, and patience, stood to his ways before them. These things, I say, have helped me, when the thoughts of the misery that both myself and mine, might for the sake of my profession be exposed to, hath lain pinching on my mind. When I have indeed conceited that I might be banished for my profession, then I have thought of that scripture. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins, and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. For all they thought they were too bad to dwell and abide amongst them. I have also thought of that saying, the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, that bonds and afflictions abide me. I have verily thought that my soul and it have sometimes reasoned about the sore and sad estate of a banished and exiled condition, how they were exposed to hunger, to cold, to perils, to nakedness, to enemies, and a thousand calamities. And at last, it may be, to die in a ditch, like a poor and desolate sheep. But I thank God, hitherto I have not been moved by these most delicate reasonings, but have rather, by them, more approved my heart to God. I will tell you a pretty business. I was once above all the rest, in a very sad and low condition for many weeks. At which time also, I being but a young prisoner, and not acquainted with the laws, had this lying much upon my spirits, that my imprisonment might end at the gallows for aught that I could tell. Now therefore Satan laid hard at me, to beat me out of heart, by suggesting thus unto me, but how if, when you come indeed to die, you should be in this condition, that is, as not to savour the things of God, nor to have any evidence upon your soul for a better state hereafter. For indeed at that time all the things of God were hid from my soul. Wherefore, when I at first began to think of this, it was a great trouble to me. For I thought with myself, that in the condition I now was in, I was not fit to die, neither indeed did I think I could, if I should be called to it. Besides, I thought with myself, if I should make a scrambling shift to clamber up the ladder, yet I should either with quaking, or other symptoms of fainting, give occasion to the enemy to reproach the way of God and his people for their timorousness. This, therefore, lay with great trouble upon me, for methought I was ashamed to die with a pale face, and tottering knees, in such a cause as this. Wherefore I prayed to God that he would comfort me, and give me strength to do and suffer me what he should call me to. Yet no comfort appeared, but all continued hid. I was also at this time, so really possessed with the thought of death, that oft I was as if I was on a ladder with the rope about my neck. Only this was some encouragement to me. I thought I might now have an opportunity to speak my last words to a multitude, which I thought would come to see me die. And, thought I, if it must be so, if God will but convert one soul by my very last words, I shall not count my life thrown away, nor lost. But yet all the things of God were kept out of my sight, and still the tempter followed me with, but whither must you go when you die? What will become of you? Where will you be found in another world? What evidence have you for heaven and glory, and an inheritance among them that are sanctified? Thus was I tossed for many weeks, and knew not what to do. At last this consideration fell with weight upon me, that it was for the word and way of God that I was in this condition, wherefore I was engaged not to flinch an hair's breadth from it. I thought also, that God might choose whether he would give me comfort now, or at the hour of death. But I might not therefore choose whether I would hold my profession or no, I was bound, but he was free. Yea, 'twas my duty to stand to his word, whether he would ever look upon me or save me at the last, wherefore, thought I, save the point being thus, I am for going on, and venturing my eternal state with Christ, whether I have comfort here or no. If God doth not come in, thought I will leap off the ladder even blindfold into eternity, sink or swim, come heaven, come hell, Lord Jesus, if thou wilt catch me, do. If not, I will venture for thy name. I was no sooner fixed in this resolution, but the word dropped upon me, doth Job serve God for naught? As if the accuser had said, Lord, Job is no upright man, be serves thee for by respects, hast thou not made that and hedge about him, etc. But put forth now thine hand, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. How now? Thought I, is this the sign of an upright soul, to desire to serve God, when all is taken from him? Is he a godly man that will serve God for nothing, rather than give out? Blessed be God. Then I hope I have an upright heart, for I am resolved. God giving me strength never to deny my profession, though I have nothing at all for my pains, and as I was thus considering, that scripture was set before me, Psalm 44:12, etc. Now was my heart full of comfort, for I hoped it was sincere. I would not have been without this trial for much. I am comforted every time I think of it, and I hope I shall bless God forever, for the teaching I have had by it. Many more of the dealings towards me I might relate, but these out of the spoils won in battle I have dedicated to maintain the house of God. 1 Chronicles 26:27.